Hello, and thank you for listening to part 4 of the series entitled Waiting on God by Pastor Grace Jung of Forerunner Christian Church. What you are listening to is the English translation of the teachings which were originally given in Mandarin Chinese. May God richly bless you as you listen. The following is a testimony given by a sister.
I once attended a Bible class where the pastor taught that the growth of our spiritual lives ought to reflect what is written in Jude 20 and 21. It says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life." When I was taught this, I noticed 4 main points from this passage. The first point is building yourselves up in your most holy of faith. I realized I was doing this through diligently reading the Word of God as well as attending Bible class. The second point is praying in the Holy Spirit. I realized I was also doing this because I was participating in many prayer meetings throughout the week as well as praying in tongues during my workday. The third point is waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. I also realized that I was doing this by trusting in the Lord whenever I encountered circumstances in life. The only point that was lacking in my life was keep yourselves in the love of God, because I realized that I didn't know what it means to keep myself in His love. I realized that this point is an important one, yet I didn't have a clear strategy on how to enter into the reality of being kept in the love of God. It was also during this time that I was learning the discipline of waiting on the Lord. Therefore, I would regularly take opportunity to draw near in intimacy to the Lord while I practiced waiting on Him. As I did this, I experienced the richness of God's loving presence to a point where I began to understand what it means to be kept in His love. I now understand that when Jude admonishes us to keep ourselves in the love of God, the way to fulfill this is through the practice of waiting on the Lord. I once attended a church where the pastor had a clear prophetic gifting upon his life. His wife shared with me that she and the pastor spend the first 2 hours of every morning on their knees interceding for issues such as revival in Taiwan and the United States. However, I asked her if they also take time individually to draw close to the Lord in intimacy outside their times of intercession. She told me that they don't, and reflected that perhaps that was why she felt rather empty within. I took opportunity to suggest to the pastor that he and his wife take time to wait on the Lord before going into laborious intercession. But the pastor's wife's response was, "I don't worry, I am different than you. For me, whenever I close my eyes, I am able to instantly see a lot of visions and such. I don't need to wait on the Lord very much." I didn't know how to discern what was wrong with this answer at that time. However, I now know that his prayer life was missing the component of being filled with the love of the Lord through waiting on Him. I believe his approach to prayer causes a sense of emptiness within. There's a tendency to approach God in prayer as if fulfilling a shopping list of needs. In doing this, we experience spiritual emptiness, as well as we continue to strive through life according to our own efforts. It is obvious that when we live this way, we are unable to express godly love to others. At least in my life, I can attest to the fact that my life was quite bankrupt of the love of God. I read all the qualities of love from 1 Corinthians 13, and I realized that I was in desperate need of them. I have now learned to maintain the presence of His love in my life through regular times of waiting on Him and drawing close to Him. It is only through being filled with His love through times of waiting on Him can I squeeze a small amount of godly love to share with others around me. I remember one time when I went skiing with my kids. Actually, I don't ski because I'm not athletic at all. I go skiing with them, and I usually am the one taking care of the stuff while everyone else is skiing. However, during my time there, I asked the Lord if His love for me is like my love for my children, in the way I would serve them by taking them skiing. I asked this question while sitting on the resort shuttle bus. This was, by the way, my taking the opportunity to fellowship with Him in life. You can be creative and opportunistic in the way you find time to wait on the Lord. Anyway, right after I asked the Lord the question, His love rose up within me and I began to shed tears while sitting in the bus. His warm and gentle love overcame me, causing me to identify with the scriptures where it says that the Lord Jehovah loves me just as a mother loves a child she gives birth to. I discovered through that encounter that the love of God can give me a revelatory understanding of His Word. I was convinced even more that I need more time to wait upon the Lord because I was aware that I desperately lacked God's love in my life. I was only able to offer a very small amount of His love to others. And even when I did, it didn't last. Otherwise, I was only able to offer His love to a very select group of people in my life. This all was enough reason for me to want to receive more of His love through regular times of waiting in His presence. What I was determined to do was to spend enough time sitting in God's presence until every cell in my body became saturated with His love. I admired the words of a hymn that says, "Oh, that Jesus would enter fully into my heart," because I longed for Him to saturate my inner person with His love. I wanted to be so filled with His love that I can flow in His love to others rather than constantly trying to squeeze out drops of love. I sincerely believe that if a person regularly spends time being saturated by God's love, that person will easily display genuine love to others. Brothers and sisters, I may not know how your spiritual walk is, but I do know that I desperately need regular intimate times of waiting on the Lord. I believe that this is the only clear way of keeping us in His love.
The following is a testimony given by a sister.
Peace to you all, brothers and sisters in the Lord. In May of this year, while I was in Vancouver, Canada, I received 5 cassette tapes of teachings on the topic of inner life that Pastor Grace Jiang gave in Los Angeles. I listened carefully to the tapes, took careful notes, as well as listed out all the biblical passages that were referred to in the teachings. Having already heard the tapes, I have to admit that I was not stirred when I first heard her in person in our recent meetings. I believe the reason for this is due to something that is not right within me. Why? Because God's Word is living, and His Spirit is living as well. Meaning that in Christ, one should always receive from the Lord when His Word is preached. This is why I say the problem is within me. Surely enough, during the Wednesday night prayer meeting, I heard someone pray, "O Lord, perform circumcision in our ears. Don't let our ears go deaf to what we are in need of hearing. Let what we hear deeply penetrate us." I also heard others pray, "O Lord, perform circumcision in our hearts. Cause our hearts to be empty and ready to receive from You. Help us from the presumptuousness in thinking that we already know what is preached." Praise the Lord! I firmly believe that the Holy Spirit was using those prayers to reveal what was wrong within me. The prayers became a force of power working in me, and its effect continued on past my afternoon nap. In fact, the power was working so mightily within me that it drove me to wait on the Lord for a period of 2 hours. Praise the Lord! Through that time of waiting, God brought tremendous revelation and insight as He worked within me. In a small group prayer meeting, a sister saw a vision of a large tree with large spreading branches and very shallow root system. The vision also revealed this tree being blown over by strong winds. This vision brought alertness as a personal warning to my life. You see, you can evaluate me from externally and conclude that my life is abundant. However, I want to confess that roots of my spiritual walk with the Lord are quite shallow. I understand that the remedy to the problem is by waiting on the Lord, so that I can deeply root myself in Him. This makes me think of the winter time in Minnesota where all the trees are empty of leaves. Because of the absence of foliage, all of the nutrients during the winter season are sent to the root system. It is also at this time that the roots grow deeper and broader into the soil. This way, when the next growing season arrives, the new shoots and fruit will be well supported by the root system. This is an illustration taken from the laws of nature. Last week we heard the message instructing us to rest from our own works and enter into His rest as He has rested from His works, in Hebrews 4:10. Looking at the bare tree without foliage, it appears as if there is no life and nothing is going on. However, what we don't see is that all of the nutrients are being sent to the root system so the roots can aggressively expand deeper into the soil. By the next year, due to the growth of the root system, the tree will be able to produce new thriving shoots and fruit. Praise the Lord that He has given me this insight in regards to waiting on the Lord. It is through our times of waiting on the Lord where we can deepen and broaden our spiritual roots in Him. I remember Sister Pearl Young teaching us that the transformation from being a Martha to a Mary requires a miracle from the Lord. Our natural person tends to want to walk faster than the pace of the Lord. Sister Young shared that God would have a much easier time leading us if we would only be willing to stay half a step behind Him. However, our tendency is to trust in our own abilities as we go as fast as our legs and horses can carry us. There are many sisters who say that they are willing to do anything except having to slow down and wait upon the Lord. This attitude has caused many to head in the wrong directions because they regularly forego going before the presence of the Lord for guidance. Christina Tsai, a woman who was blind, once said that the human heart is like a piece of canvas where God would draw upon it His will and guidance. However, if that piece of canvas is constantly moving, the picture God draws will end up to be rather distorted. This is why many have a hard time understanding the heart of God over matters in life. She also once said that the human heart is like a surface of a lake. If the surface is calm and still, without any waves or ripples, it can perfectly reflect an image of a face. We can connect this with what is said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, where it says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit." What this means is that only if our hearts are still can we truly see a perfect reflection of the image and the glory of God. This then helps us to properly know Him for who He really is like. These illustrations of the human heart point to the need for people to practice waiting upon the Lord. In those 2 hours of waiting upon the Lord after my afternoon nap, I had a deep awareness that God was digging deep within me, like Isaac digging wells in dry ground. God desires to dig within us a deep well of spiritual waters where the source of living water might flow out into our surroundings. This source of living water is a source of love, wisdom, joy, peace, where the supply comes from God's abundance. Let's take a look at Psalms 87, verse 7. "Then those who sing, as well as those who play the flute or dance, shall say, 'All my springs of joy are in you.'" That day, while waiting upon the Lord, I received the source of living water in me that is abundant. This is all available within us, a source of living water that is abundantly full of wisdom, life, understanding, fullness, and satisfaction. Jesus Christ in us makes this all a reality. Whenever we quiet down and wait upon Him, we will encounter a tremendous pull from the Lord, drawing us deeper and deeper in Him to where we have a connection with the source of the living waters. Once that takes place, we become abundant and we will experience love flowing out within us. Other times when I wait, I overflow with joy. I encounter things like honeycomb within me, saturated and dripping with honey. These experiences are the result of having taken time to wait on the Lord. There was a professor from Kaohsiung, Taiwan, who taught me to seek the Lord by kneeling on a prayer mat, holding to the edge of the couch and lifting up my head towards the sky. Then he explained that when we do that, we are getting a suntan, S-O-N. You can see this as the sun of righteousness rising over us and bringing the power of healing upon us. We see this in Malachi 4:2. When we gain the Lord, we gain healing for our entire personhood. That professor was serious when he said that he was getting a suntan when he sets his face towards the sky. His explanation of what was going on attracted me to do the same. When we position ourselves to bask under the sun of righteousness, we encounter God's healing upon our spirit, soul, and body. It's the type of exposure that is thorough and extensive. I can't help but thank the Lord for how simple this all really is. All we need to do is be still before God and let Him do all this wonderful work within us. Think about the tree planted beside waters. This is a tree with leaves that don't wither and fruit that come in the right season because its roots are well supplied with water. We see this in Psalms 1, verses 1 to 3. A person who walks with the Lord is like this tree, and whatever he does prospers. A plant needs sunlight, air, and water for it to thrive. In the same way, if we give the planted Word of God within us the proper sun, air, and water, we will also thrive. This is the description of the abundant life that God is inviting us into. A life of strength, transformation, healing, growth, and increased intimacy with the Lord. The path into this life is outwardly living a life of praising God and inwardly living a life of waiting upon Him. That day, while I was waiting on the Lord, He highlighted to me His word which says, "The first shall be last and the last shall be first." The point that He was making to me was that those who hear instruction and act upon it are the ones who are going to be first, while those who do not act are the ones who are going to be last. Let's mutually admonish each other towards these things, and may the Lord bless us.
The following is a teaching given by Pastor Grace Jung.
Let's look at Isaiah chapter 40. Verses 28 to 31. There it reads, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." The first part of this chapter speaks about the wonderful wisdom of God displayed in creation. For example, verse 26 says, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth the host by number. He calls them by name. Because of the greatness of His might and the strength of His power, not one of them is missing." God is the creator of the universe with stars as many as the sands of the beach. His awesome wisdom is displayed in creation. In light of God's creation, the writer asks, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable." The writer also says, "He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power." Then the writer highlights, "Though youths grew weary and tired, the vigorous young men stumble badly," but explains that God prepared a way for people to live a life where weariness and tiredness can be overcome. This life is experienced through waiting upon Him. The passage says, "Yet those who wait upon the Lord will gain new strength." Even though the reality of life on earth makes even the youths and young men weary and tired, God in His unfathomable wisdom has made available a way to overcome tiredness and weariness. He has prepared a way in which His people can encounter a life in Him where they are like eagles who sprout powerful wings for flight. How is this life encountered? Well, this life is encountered by those who wait upon the Lord. What then is the meaning of to wait? The Amplified Bible, in my opinion, gives a great explanation. It renders the passage in this way. Those who expect, look for, and hope in Him shall change and renew their strength and power. In essence, to wait is to carry an inward disposition of expecting, looking for, and hoping in the Lord. With this explanation, we can see that the practice of waiting is not sitting around idly with a mental daze while you wonder why God hasn't come and spoken to you. There are some who sit there waiting for God to speak or give a vision. Others sit around waiting for some manifestation or miraculous encounter like a supernatural blowing of the wind. However, the idea of waiting explained here is a deliberate expression of love as you purpose to draw to Him for close communion. A pastor once explained that the Hebrew idea of the word wait is illustrated as three strings woven tightly together. Applied to our pursuit of the Lord, waiting upon Him can be seen as an act of entwining our spirit with His spirit. It is a picture of absolute closeness where we are drawing Him and the fullness of His abundance towards us. Waiting then should not be looked upon as merely a prohibition of activity. Rather, it ought to be understood as an active engagement with God that grows in intensity and momentum. It serves to lift our spirit, soul, and body to where we find restoration in God. When we wait on God, we are being refilled with fuel or, as what was shared previously, recharged as an electric razor charges on its charger. When we wait, our weakened earthly bodies are being charged with electric currents of heaven to where we undergo transformation. The idea of gain new strength in this passage, in the original language, carries the idea of exchanging strength, where we are exchanging our fragile bodies and weakened character with the strength that comes from heaven. When we ponder upon the picture of ourselves entwined with God, it gives us a picturesque idea of this divine impartation of strength that is taking place. This is why waiting on the Lord is not a restrictive or prohibitive activity. Again, waiting on the Lord is actively using our love, hope, expectation, and desire for the Lord as a means of drawing near to Him. As we draw near to Him, we are generating a spiritual suction that leads us to God's wellspring of love. This takes place because God, who is love, lives and dwells within believers. God is love. He dwells within believers. Therefore, we as believers have this wellspring of love within us. Our job is to discover and excavate that wellspring of love through desiring for it and suctioning for it. These are the realities of what it means to wait upon the Lord. The passage describes that those who do wait on the Lord will be as eagles who mount up with its wings as they fly towards the sun. The picture of eagles flying high towards the sun illustrates for us that those who wait are ones who are flying towards the Lord. In Hsinchu, Taiwan, there's a brother who had to serve time in the military. The military is a place where they work you hard without giving you much rest. Part of the training in the military is responding to commands without much thought. And one way of training the soldiers towards that is to assign them very menial and boring tasks to do on a regular basis. For example, a soldier might get assigned to cut the grass of a particular field. So that soldier's job is to make sure that the grass is cut and new growth regularly trimmed. The point is that through doing these menial tasks, it makes the soldiers think less about what they are doing so that they become people who can quickly obey commands. For this brother, going through this caused much weariness upon him because all he did was military training and tending to menial tasks without opportunities for spiritual pursuit and rejuvenation. He felt very dried up within. One particular Sunday, he was given a day leave from the base so that he can run personal errands. He took advantage of that leave and came to spend time at church. He came during the morning where we typically held prayer meetings. The format of the prayer meeting usually included a good half an hour of waiting upon the Lord before we began to pray. We did it that way because we wanted people to be filled with the oil of God's anointing before we actually began to pray for things. Now this brother, being tremendously thirsty for the Lord, came to that meeting and sat in the back without anyone noticing him. He began releasing his thirst for the Lord as he waited upon him. Later on, he shared with me that 15 minutes into waiting on the Lord, he encountered what was like a water fountain of joy and love bursting within him. He was so filled with the joy and the love of God that he couldn't help but worship the Lord as he continued to drink deeply from the Lord. After about 20 or 30 minutes, he had to leave, but he was fully revived and renewed with strength. Waiting on the Lord is an amazing thing. There is an oil well within you. There is a water fountain within you. However, you must discover it and activate it. Once you do that, you have tapped into abundance. The passage describes those who wait on the Lord as ones who will mount up with wings like eagles. In the Bible, the eagle is the only type of bird that is used to illustrate Christians. In God's eyes, His people are looked upon as eagles, meaning that Christians are supposed to experience lives descriptive of the eagle. A man who once lived in the Swiss Alps made it his project to study the life of the eagle. He discovered that there is a certain type of eagle that has a lifespan of over 100 years. However, at about 60 years of age, these eagles will suddenly undergo tremendous aging. They will no longer have the vigor of the younger eagles that have the strength to fly straight into storm clouds. They will also undergo weeks of inactivity, as if in hibernation. Then they will suddenly wake up from that lethargic state and begin to peck at the rocks with their beaks, beat at the rocks with their wings, and scrape at the rocks with their tails. They do this with intensity, causing much bleeding to their bodies in order to remove all the worn-out feathers from their bodies. The process is definitely one that is very painful and difficult to bear. However, they are driven by their natural desire for survival, and they will go through the entire process in order to fight for life. When they are done, all of the worn-out feathers are removed from their bodies, making them like younger eagles. Then they will again be able to mount up with their wings and fly straight into the storm clouds. With this rejuvenation process, these eagles can live another 50 to 60 years. God tells us that even the youths grow weary and young men stumble. However, He also tells us that those who wait on Him will experience rejuvenation as the wearied eagles do. The question is, are you willing to awaken yourself to the revelation that embedded within you is a tremendous source of life and strength? The problem is that many Christians have not had the genuine revelation that the God who is within them is greater than anything that is in the world. The problem is that many Christians have not had the genuine revelation that in Christ all of God's abundance is truly available to them. Christians are still lacking in this revelation. That is why Christians are easily squashed by the difficulties which they encounter in life. Sickness comes and we self-destruct in fear. We just are not aware that there is a source of abundant life within us. However, those who understand how to bask in the beauty and the glory of the Lord, as well as absorb His life-giving strength, are able to live quite differently. Scripture describes these people as ones who can run and not grow weary, as well as walk and not grow tired. The concept of run and not grow weary can be identified as the kind of daily lives we can have. The reason that life can be like this is because this person regularly returns to the Lord to be renewed in strength. In the midst of tremendous busyness and pressure, this person has the discipline to be entwined with the Lord, exchanging their weakness for God's strength. In times of waiting on the Lord and drawing close to Him in intimacy, God draws this person upward and away from the earthly attractions and mess, earthly stuff in the realm of the emotion and the flesh. God does the work of filling us up with gas until we are fully strengthened and ready to press on. This arrangement is established by the wisdom of God, a wisdom that is beyond imagination of man. Many tend to think that nothing will be accomplished without striving. But man's wisdom concludes that one must actively be in movement in order to generate strength. That is why God would fill an entire chapter of Isaiah 40 with the description of His wonderful wisdom before He finally says, "Those who wait on the Lord will regain new strength." God first reminds us that the created order of the universe is the result of His wisdom. Then He reveals to us that that same wisdom has made provision for us to find strength for life. Brothers and sisters, you must get to a place where you are convinced that regularly returning to the Lord to seek intimacy with Him is much better than continuing to run and strive. Instead of running around chasing after the newest anointing or the latest teaching, try genuinely returning to the presence of the Lord. You will find this to be a lot more productive. There are too many Christians who love to travel all over, attending conferences, yet somehow refuse to practice a life of waiting before the Lord. Even though these people hear a lot of new teachings, as well as receive a lot of impartation, they never develop the ability to regularly renew themselves in Him. What we are filled up with in the Lord gets quickly used up as we come across people and circumstances in our daily life. Life demands that we constantly expend spiritual energy. That is why it is critically important for us to be able to refill our tanks on a regular basis. Think of the testimony that was given about the pastor's wife. Even though she and her husband can intercede for worldwide issues for 2 hours, she admitted that she was not filled on the inside. One can diligently go about serving without being filled. If this condition persists, it will produce a growing sense of weariness in ministry. We are in need of learning how to truly eat and drink of the Lord Himself. You see, Jesus Himself said in John chapter 5, verse 56, that those who eat of His flesh and drink of His blood are the ones who will gain eternal life. I used to be quite confused about what Jesus said in that verse until God gave me understanding one day while I was waiting on Him. In the past, I asked many ministers about the meaning of the passage because I just could not understand the whole concept of eating and drinking Jesus. The disciples themselves didn't quite understand when Jesus said it also. I was so confused over the subject that I don't even remember the answers that the pastors gave because it was just too confusing. However, when I began to practice waiting on God, I experienced a place of communion with Him where I was literally filled with God on the inside. It's like I absorbed Him. This experience brought a tangible, revelatory understanding of what it means to be eating His flesh and drinking His blood for eternal life. Having the tangible presence of the eternal life within us is having a life that is not weary or tired. There is a brother who went from Taiwan to the east coast of the United States for schooling. There he joined a church and served extensively. There were times when he was so busy that he literally had no time for sleep. In fact, he was so worn out from busyness that he couldn't fall asleep at all. The only thing he could do was to draw close to the Lord in intimacy until there was an exchange of his tiredness with a fresh dose of God's strength. This is a provision from God inviting us to regularly return to Him for fresh gas. Let's now look at Psalms 68 verses 9 to 14. There it reads, Thou didst shed abroad a plentiful rain, O God. Thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was parched. Thy creatures settled in it. Thou didst provide in thy goodness for the poor, O God. The Lord gives the command. The women who proclaim the good tidings are a great host. Kings of armies flee. They flee. And she who remains at home will divide the spoil. When you lie down amongst the sheepfolds, you are like the wings of a dove covered with silver, and its pinions with glistening gold. When the Almighty scattered the kings there, it was snowing in Zalmon. These verses speak of kings and armies fleeing from an area, leaving those who remain at home to divide the spoil. The passage also speaks of God bringing forth plentiful rain when it was parched. In times of waiting upon the Lord, you will sometimes experience what is like a downpour of rain, which brings a reviving effect to our weariness as well as a strengthening effect to our weaknesses. The passage also mentions that the congregation of God's people is settled in His presence, and the poor amongst them are provided for by His goodness. Notice that the poor are identified to be the recipient for His goodness because the poor are typically poised to receive from Him. Most of the time, we tend to think that we are still strong enough to carry on without the need to wait on the Lord. We don't want to wait because we believe we have what it takes to accomplish things and to get it done faster than waiting on God. When we are in that mindset of self-sufficiency, we will have no desire to wait on the Lord. The poor, on the other hand, are very much aware of their poverty. To them, God has prepared His goodness as a sustenance for them. People who know their poverty and care to seek the Lord for sustenance are like those who will end up dividing the spoil. The passage describes how when the Lord gives the command, kings of armies will flee, while those who remain enjoy the spoil. This is a picturesque description pointing to the fact that God will take responsibility to drive out the kings of the army for those who wait upon Him. Another picturesque description for those who wait on the Lord is that they will experience peace and tranquility as a dove's wings covered with silver and its pinions with glistening gold, as well as like sheep safely asleep in the sheepfold. Silver and gold refers to the presence of the Lord. So you can see that when we wait upon the Lord, His presence covers us. Continuing to the end of this passage, it describes that snow was falling in Zalmon when the Almighty was scattering away the kings from there. Can you recognize that our old self are these very kings that God is scattering away? There are indeed many kings of our old self that reside within us. For example, the king of pride, the king of selfishness, the king of complaining, and the king of criticisms and judgment. These kings rule within us. However, when we draw near to God, His presence within us scatters away these kings. Think about what was shared in the testimony at the beginning. It was shared that when we draw near to God through waiting upon Him, we are able to absorb the essence of His love. Then, when we begin to be filled up with His love, our old self begins to diminish. Do you realize that all of the expressions of our old self are expressions that are devoid of love? The truth is that these kings, the expressions that are devoid of love, tend to rule in our lives. Some of these kings have been ruling in our lives for so long that it seems impossible to scatter them away. But there is one clear solution. Let the love and the presence of God cover us. When His nature is invited to saturate us, it does the work of driving away these kings of the old self. They are no longer permitted to reign as kings. You will notice that as you practice waiting upon the Lord, your temperament changes. Let's say that you are one who is easily angered, impatient, or unloving to others. If through a season of waiting upon the Lord, you will discover that these temperament problems will have disappeared. You might begin to see certain people as lovable instead of annoying. What has happened is that God has personally come into your life to drive these kings out. As you cease from your own works, you let the Almighty One to work on your behalf. He comes to drive out the kings for you. As you purpose to wait on Him, He fills your empty tank so that you can once again mount up with wings like eagles. A sister in Taiwan shared with me of an experience she once had while on vacation. The place that she was touring was blowing with strong winds on that day. She then began to notice an eagle peacefully sitting on the clefts of the rocks while the winds were blowing away. Apparently, the eagle was patiently waiting until there was a strong enough of a gust of wind for it to glide through the air without having to flap its wings. As the eagle caught the gust, it merely opened up its wings and the wind took it upward to the sky, without need for any flapping on the eagle's part. The opportunity to observe the flight of the eagle deposited a deep impression in her of the principle of ceasing from one's own striving in order to enter into rest. As we are willing to step away from our own striving so that we can enter into His presence, the omnipotence that accompanies God's presence comes to help us, lifting us up towards the sun, towards the throne of God. Unfortunately, Christians live as sparrows struggling in the winds rather than eagles who soar and glide. Sparrows work so hard, flapping its wings violently just to achieve a short distance of flight. They expend a lot of energy in flying, but they can only fly so high. Many Christians would rather do it on their own by flapping their wings with much effort rather than learning to wait on the Lord. There is a strong mentality of wanting to work hard and relying on one's own diligence to make it through life. The truth is, if there is any diligence that a Christian ought to exercise, it is the diligence of giving time for God. The diligence is to discipline ourselves so that we don't fall into habitual busyness. I believe many of us have already experienced the failure of self-reliant busyness. It is just too easy to go through life relying on our own plans, strategies, and strength. Take, for example, in the ministries of preaching and worship leading. Are you willing to enter into the rest and ask the Lord in regards to what He wants you to say or what songs He wants you to sing? Perhaps what is more common is flipping through the pages of the hymnal, looking at the songs, busily thinking up a worship set with our minds. Going about it in this way is like the speedy flapping of the sparrow's wings. How about changing our mindsets and becoming more like eagles that would patiently wait for the strong gusts of wind instead of being overtaken by a sense of urgency? Yes, most who initially practice waiting on God will feel nothing. However, that does not mean that they need to start flapping their wings to enter into flight. Rather, they ought to persevere in waiting until they begin to sense the increasing movement of the winds of God. Then they will be able to step into God's airstream and be lifted high up unto Him. Do you realize that God uses nature, such as the flight of eagles, to reveal these spiritual principles to us? Unfortunately, His people are just very slow to learn. His people are so caught up with their own busyness, plans, and arrangements for life to where they have no desire to listen to the Lord's arrangements. There is a brother who was suffering from difficult circumstances. He shared with a friend about his difficulties and asked his friend to pray together with him. While they were together giving God praises, His presence came so mightily that all they could do was silently bask in His presence in abundance. And after a period of time, his friend gave thanks to the Lord for depositing such a tremendous peace to that brother. This friend then asked the Lord for help in delivering this brother from his emotional suffering because there was such an understanding that God's presence had already ministered to his needs. All he had to do was give thanks for the great peace that accompanied his presence. What they encountered together was an illustration of what it means to mount up with wings like eagles. See, you must realize that emotional suffering is not truly resolved by talking with people. So why not make the decision to go before the Lord? Get in the presence of your Abba Father. One touch of His presence can resolve your problems. Often, just a mere tangible experience of His peace will resolve all your inward struggles. Do you believe in the reality of this? There is a sister who crashed into a motorcycle while riding on her bicycle. She fell very hard on her rear end, and the impact shocked her vertebrae. A bystander quickly approached the sister and advised that she quickly get to the hospital because the vertebrae is a very sensitive part of the body. It could potentially result in lifelong headaches. However, there was an inward conviction to trust fully on the Lord for protection from physical damage. She went home and began to seek the Lord over the matter. It was challenging, for she was suffering from sharp pains no matter if she was sitting or lying down. She laid on her side and waited on the Lord. But because she did live a life of regularly waiting on the Lord, she was able to enter into His presence in the midst of her discomfort. She asked the Lord that His presence would continue to flow through the entirety of her body. And after a few days of this, her condition was completely healed. You see, God is able to meet both physical and emotional needs. There's another sister with children whose husband was transferred to another city by his workplace. As an arrangement for the change, she let her husband go alone while she stayed on with her children to finish the school year. 3 months later, she went to visit her husband and discovered that he was having an affair. When she returned home, she was heartbroken and in deep emotional pain. She shared with her 18-year-old son what was going on with his dad, and the news was too much for him to bear. He began to suffer from psychological disorders. The effect of the situation on her son brought her even more pain. She spent an entire afternoon in her backyard seeking the Lord in desperation. What else could she have done in the midst of her suffering? You see, most wives who are dealing with cheating husbands feel trapped because they usually are not able to tell others. There is just too much concern of losing face and status amongst friends and family. In her tremendous pain, she went to seek the Lord in the garden. Now this is a vivid picture of what the Word of God means when it tells us that God's goodness is provided to the poor. Every day she would spend the entire afternoon there longing for God. Gradually she felt the presence of the Lord increase in her to the point where she felt like it was no longer her who was living. She described it as the glory of the Lord taking over and living within her. Now this is a vivid picture of what the Word of God means when it tells us that those who wait are like the wings of doves covered with silver and pinions with glistening gold. When we are willing to lie down in peace as a sheep lies down in its fold, instead of fighting back with our ways and strength to solve our problems, insisting that the husband break it off with the mistress, seeking the assistance of others to intervene, or even threatening, the Almighty God will come and scatter the enemies. Indeed, God did the amazing in this sister's situation. The husband ended up taking initiative to break his relationship with the other woman. Victory must first take place within us before it produces effect in the circumstances that we are concerned about. If so, are we willing then to set aside our works for the sake of seeking the Lord? I know that there are many who are already practicing waiting on the Lord in their lives, but I wonder if there are any who are still unsure as to how to wait on Him. You don't have to be concerned about having to be in a sitting position. Start with talking to the Lord in prayer. Waiting on the Lord is usually one of the modes of prayer. Start by praying to God. When you run out of things to say, quiet down and sense what God leads you to do. Sometimes a song may rise up within you. If so, then sing it to Him with all your love. After singing, you can say words of affections to Him until you fall back into silence. This is an effective structure to use when you first start to practice waiting on the Lord. As a general rule, whenever you feel your soul body, emotions, and mind getting distracted and losing focus, go out of silence and start singing a song or offer Him words of affection. You can say things such as, Lord, I love You only. Lord, I only want You. Lord, I have shut the doors to distractions, and it's just You and me. Lord, I long for You. Lord, I need You. You must put to rest my inward squirming. If you are having a hard time settling down, keep talking to Him along the theme of love and desire for Him. Prevent the meditations of your heart from going in the direction of intercession. Leave interceding for situations and people for another time. Now you might be able to enter into His presence through intercession. However, don't stay there, otherwise your focus will be stuck on your burdens rather than solely on your King. Train yourselves towards being able to stay engaged with God in conversation. Speak to Him with words of love and adoration. Now, some wrongfully teach about waiting on God by insisting that a person must be in complete silence. I personally don't agree. I see waiting on God as a very natural and spontaneous activity. There is the dynamics of waiting in silence, singing a song, as well as speaking to the Lord. There are even times when you are waiting on the Lord and He drops a burden in your heart to intercede for a particular person. When that happens, you respond and you intercede. You only enter into absolute silence when you sense the Holy Spirit taking you there. For those who are teaching and leading others into the practice of waiting upon God, you must be sensitive to others and not presume that they know what is going on or what to do. Don't lead beginners straight into 30 minutes of absolute silence. It's just too difficult for them. This will probably deter them from continuing, for it could cause a fear towards waiting on the Lord. Be aware of the needs of the others. Don't just do it for mere personal enjoyment. When Sister Pearl Young was leading the brothers and sisters in Taiwan to wait on the Lord, she started with 1 or 2 minutes at a time. Gradually, she extended the time to 15 minutes. Again, do be considerate when you are leading others to practicing waiting on the Lord. You can incorporate a song of love to the Lord as a start. You can incorporate a passage to pray over as a start. No matter what, don't take the approach of willfully plowing through the exercise by forcing all to enter into absolute silence for an extended period of time. Remember, waiting on God is not a torture. If you want to incorporate a song, try choosing one that is easily memorized so that it can be sung with the eyes closed. When you feel a desire to express love, then offer Him your words of affection. The entire activity of loving the Lord in intimacy is quite natural, spontaneous, and dynamic. It should never be torturous. However, if you do feel like it's torture to draw near to God, I would suggest that you set your mind to practice this daily until your experience of it changes. In the future, this is the life that we will have in heaven, being close to the Lord in worship, love, and adoration. We better get used to it as early as possible, else we find heaven in the future to be a horrible place. I pray that God's people will take advantage of the time that they have here on earth to practice and to grow in the capacity to relate to the Lord with love. If you reflect upon the testimonies that were given in the beginning, you will find out that the initial days of your learning to wait upon the Lord were not in vain. As you persevere, you will suddenly encounter the awesome presence of the Lord, and you will realize that all the time prior was not a waste of time and effort. Usually, you will feel nothing in the beginning because God is still clearing out the terrain of your inner person from the rocks and the weeds of distracting thought, patterns, and hardness of heart. This is when it would be helpful to incorporate singing to Him every now and then, just to help yourself stay focused on the Lord. Over time, as more stuff is being cleaned out, you will enter into a place of greater tranquility. This does not necessarily mean that you are going to be experiencing the powerful presence of the Lord, but this does enable you to begin to notice the measure of His increasing presence. In the place of tranquility, you will sense the outpouring of His anointing upon you, until all of a sudden, your cup overflows. The fountain of joy bursts forth, and you are saturated with His love, or you are empowered with His strength. When this takes place, we are restored to where we will mount up with wings like eagles. I admonish you all to take action and begin practicing the discipline of waiting upon the Lord.
This concludes part 4 of the series entitled Waiting on God by Pastor Grace Jung of Forerunner Christian Church. Please do continue listening to the rest of the teachings in this series. As a reminder, do take time to practice waiting on God in order to truly benefit from this teaching. May God richly bless you.